This wasn't no movie. The smart thing was to say yes, get up, and leave the room. But then I thought to myself, what if this was a movie? Look, you, the plane you flew in on, them shoes, your socks with the bell on it, your gay ass accent, them cheap ass cigars, your yuck mouth teeth, your hairpiece, your chocolate, Guy Ritchie, Prince William, the Queen. This is America. My president is black and my Lambo is blue, nigga. Now get the out of my hotel room. And if I see you in the street, I'm slapping the out of you.
This is Tim D-O-double-G, and I want to thank you for tuning in for another episode of the Clip Nation's Comic Book Chronicles. Tonight's episode is going to be starring yours truly, and with Marvel Now starting up, I thought it would be a good idea to just take some time and give my thoughts on some of the issues that have come out and some of the news that's been announced, and also maybe preview some upcoming things happening in the Marvel Now. But first, I want to state that we're recording on Sunday, November 25th, 2012. And you can follow myself on Twitter. My Twitter handle is TimDOGG98. Make sure to also follow the Click Nation's Twitter account at the Click Nation. We have a Facebook fan page that you can go and like, facebook.com/TheClickNation. Find us on YouTube, youtube.com/TheClickNation. Also on Google Plus. As always, subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Just search for Click Nation. And if you ever want to send some feedback that you want to have read on the show, you can send that to our email account, TheClickNation@gmail.com. So with Marvel Now starting up, Marvel has done a pretty good job of taking advantage of all this press and intrigue in the not a reboot or a revamp or a restart, but just a shaking up of their creative teams, changing artists, long-established artists and writers on different titles and switching them to another title. They've been doing these, what started out as weekly and has turned into daily Marvel Live, Marvel Now, Next Big Thing live blogs, where every day, well, not every day, but just about every day around 3 p.m., they've done a live blog on their website, marvel.com, with a different creative team member from some of the debuting Marvel Now titles. So I thought it would be a good idea to talk about the ones that I've found the most interesting. I've pretty much been a member of all the Marvel Now Next Big Thing live blogs because I've been fortunate enough to be able to log in while I'm at work. So I can read the questions being asked and even ask some of my own questions. And let's see, there were two that caught my eye. The first one I'm going to talk about is the one dealing with Uncanny Avengers. They had a live blog sort of in the middle of November. And I believe Rick Remender, the writer of Uncanny Avengers, was the guest. And they teased some of the upcoming things coming in the Uncanny Avengers, which Marvel has built their quote-unquote flagship title of the Marvel Universe, because it's teaming up members of the Avengers and members of X-Men together on one super team. And this has spiraled out of the Avengers versus X-Men mega event that occurred, I guess, through the spring and summer of 2012. And the first bit of big news out of the Uncanny Avengers Next Big Thing live blog was that Olivier Coipel, hope I pronounced that right, he will be the guest penciler on issue 5. And the reason this is important is because Uncanny Avengers has already been plagued by delays, and issue 2 has, as of this recording, has not yet been released. And they also announced during this live blog that Uncanny Avengers number 3 got pushed back from December. Actually, let me look that up because I want to make sure I get the dates right. Let's see. Let's see. Okay, yeah. Okay, Avengers number 3 has been moved. It has moved its release date from December 19th to January 16th. And number 4 was moved from January 30th to February 20th. And I believe, as someone said online, that it looks like they're moving from a 4-month schedule to 6-month. I mean, a 4-week schedule to a 6-week schedule. Now, the main culprit for this, more than likely, is because John Cassidy is doing the art on the book. Marvel hasn't come out and said specifically that the book is late because of Cassidy, but people in the know and people that follow comics and have followed John Cassidy on Astonishing X-Men know that it was plagued by delays because of him. And therefore, now Marvel's flagship title is also late. I think that's important because, like I said, it's the flagship title, and if it's going to be late, that's not a good look for Marvel. Also, you have to take into account that a lot of the Marvel Now titles, like All New X-Men, are going to be released on a bi-weekly schedule. I'm not sure. I know at least the first month, some of the Marvel Now titles are being released bi-weekly. I don't know how long that's going to go into the future. But if, say, All New X-Men is on issue 4 come mid-December, and Uncanny Avengers is just now releasing number 2 by that time, you got sort of a time conflict there. I guess it's not that big a deal, but to me it is. Because like I said, if this is going to be that flagship title, you can't really have it be coming out on a 6-week schedule when all these other books are coming out every 2 weeks. And with Olivier Coipel being already named the guest penciler on number 5, what they should do is like what Marvel plans on doing with the Avengers book when it launches, and scheduling a rotating cast of artists that are going to come on to spell the main artists. So you say you have John Cassidy doing issues 1 through 4 of Uncanny Avengers, then let Olivier Coipel come on and do issue 5, maybe 6, as I'm assuming issue 5 is going to be a standalone issue, and then jump back into the next story arc with issue 5, or issue 6. So then have issue 6 be a different artist that'll do issues 6 through 10. We'll just use that as an example. And then have John Cassidy jump back on number 11. That would make the most sense. And other news with the Uncanny Avengers that was announced with the Next Big Thing live blog was, along with issue 5 and the guest penciler, is that what marked the debut of 3 new team members to the squad. You're going to add the Wasp, who just got found. I was going to say revived, but turns out she really wasn't dead. She was just stuck in the Microverse, and that occurred in the Brian Michael Bendis's last issues of Avengers before it relaunches in the Marvel Now with the new number one. But the Avengers found her in the Microverse and brought her back to, I guess, our regular plane. So she's going to be, Wasp's going to be the financier for the Uncanny Avengers team because they're not a government sanctioned team. So they have to have money to run somehow. So with that, she's going to be providing money for the team. And you're also going to have Wonder Man joining, who also, along with Wasp, he was a villain in Bendis's run of Avengers, but near the end, Bendis made sure to reform him and put him back on the side of the good guys. So Wonder Man's going to join because Scarlet Witch, who's a member of Uncanny Avengers, is going to ask for his help. And since Wonder Man is still in love with Scarlet Witch, he can't say no to her. So he's going to be the PR man for the team because the whole point of the Uncanny Avengers is to show the world that mutants aren't all bad. And to show that, they want to have a team of mutants and regular superheroes like the Avengers together working as a team. So it's going to be Wonder Man's job to try to make the public accept mutants. And the final member of the team, addition to the team, is going to be Sunfire, who is a mutant. And supposedly there's going to be a reason why he joins, and it has something to do with Wolverine. So we just have to wait and see what that reasoning is whenever these books finally start coming out. And that'll make the total number of people on the team be 9, which is a pretty large cast for a team book. But Rick Remender, who's a great writer, I employ everyone listening to go and read his Uncanny X-Force run and Secret Avengers, which I plan on catching up on. And he also wrote Venom in its early stages, the Venom starring Spider-Man's friend Flash Thompson. So Remender will be able to juggle this large cast by not having all 9 members appear in the book at one time. He'll use certain members depending on what the mission requires. So I think some people are making a big deal about the large cast, but in the end, I don't think it'll be that big a deal. And another live blog topic was Cable and X-Force. Now, I know a couple people probably don't care about the Cable and X-Force title, but me being a longtime fan of X-Force over the years, I started out with the very first X-Force number one drawn by Rob Liefeld. So I've been following the team and just the name X-Force for many years. And also knowing that Salvador LaRocca is going to be doing the art for it, I definitely have been a fan of his, and I know he can keep a monthly schedule, as he showed on The Invincible Iron Man, written by Matt Fraction. But Cable and X-Force is going to be nice to read because it's also going to star the Uncanny Avengers, who are going to be chasing after Cable and the X-Force squad because they're going to be seen as criminals because of something that happens early on in the series. And Cable and X-Force is going to star Cable, Domino, Forge, Colossus, and Dr. Nemesis, with Hope Summers being not an official member of the team, but she's going to be involved in the book. And we have to see how, we know how because Cable is her father, or adopted father. So she's going to be on the run with them. They want to lead a normal life, but of course, that is easier said than done in the comic book superheroing world. So, like I said, Cable and X-Force, I'm looking forward to it. Salvador La Roca, I guess I forgot that he was drawing, he used to draw some X-Men titles like the Extreme X-Men. I know he drew Fantastic Four a long time ago, because that was the main reason why I started reading Fantastic Four back in, I want to say, the early 2000s. That was around the time I just gave up collecting comic books, because what I found out is I was collecting them, but once again, I was in college at the time, so I was collecting them, but I really wasn't making the time to go back and read them. It's like I was going to buy them just out of repetition, because I was just so used to doing it. But anyway, so that's about all the Marvel Now Next Big Thing live blog news I wanted to talk about. So, going to take a short little break, and when we come back, I'm going to talk about some of the number one issues for Marvel Now, right after this.
Patrick, what are you doing here?
Hey guys, I'm moving back in.
But we thought everything was going well in New York.
Oh, everything's going great. But Dad, Marvel Now is happening.
Marvel when?
Now, Dad. Marvel Comics are launching dozens of new titles featuring brand new creative teams. I mean, do you know how many amazing new books there are going to be?
No.
A lot. There's Hulk by Mark Waid, Fantastic Four by Matt Fraction, a bi-weekly X-Men book by Bendis, and a bi-weekly Avengers book by Hickman. Oh, man. And then there's Uncanny Avengers by Remender and Cassidy, and I have not even mentioned Deadpool yet.
But what's that got to do with you moving back here?
Guys, how do you think I'm going to afford all these comics if I have to pay rent and buy groceries?
Maybe not buy so many comics.
You are hilarious, Dad. Hey, guys, what kind of food do you have? I could really go for some bacon.
I told you we should have changed the locks 4 years ago.
Hey, Mom. So, I know I'm supposed to be at college right now, but listen. Secret Invasion just started, and there are a ton of tie-in books. So can I borrow $200?
And we're back. Or I'm back, to be more specific. So now, like I said before the break, I'm going to give a little thoughts and whatnot on the various Marvel Now titles that have debuted so far. And for those who may be unfamiliar to me or listening for the first time, I am a recent comic book reviewer, courtesy of the good people over at the popculturenetwork.com. They've been hooking me up with some advanced copies of the different titles before they've been released, so I've been able to write reviews for our website, theclicknation.com, and also give props and kudos over to them. And they also post the link to my reviews on their site also, so it's a nice partnership we have going. And I guess I never thought this day would come, the day would come where I'd be able to do something like give a comic book review as a hobby. It almost feels like I'm being paid for it, because every time I get that email with, say, Avengers number one or Uncanny Avengers number one and number two, it's just a big old smile comes across my face, and it feels like it's almost, like I said, it's almost like as if I'm getting paid for it. And I'm, even though I'm not getting paid financially for it, I am getting paid because I'm getting to do something I love, and that's read comic books and give my opinion on them. So with that out the way, let's get into some, basically I'm just going to be discussing some of the comics I've already reviewed just to get caught up, and then hopefully maybe every week or every other week or whenever I just feel up to it, I'll keep these comic book chronicle podcasts going, basically just giving an audio option to the different reviews I've already given on the website. So first up, I have Uncanny Avengers number one. What I liked about it was you got to love that huge surprise that Rip Remender had at the end of the issue on the very last page. And I guess I should go ahead and say that there will be spoilers given during this podcast for all these titles, because I'll only discuss the titles that have already been released. I won't discuss any titles that are yet to come out. I'll save those for my the written comic book reviews. But eventually they will be discussed on future episodes of Comic Book Chronicles. So, like I said, the huge surprise ending was that the Red Skull, he had some of his minions, who are called S-Men, kidnap the deceased body of Professor Charles Xavier, and he cut off his head so he could steal his brain, since in his mind, Charles Xavier's brain is the most powerful weapon on the face of the earth. He wants to use it and, I guess, just use it for his own evil intentions. And see what else happened in that issue. It was basically a building the team issue. Captain America and Thor went around. They went around recruiting the team, but actually they just went and talked to Havoc, because Captain America wants Havoc to lead this public Avengers team featuring Avengers and X-Men together. And the reason he chooses Havoc is because he's got a normal, pretty, handsome face that regular Homo sapiens can relate to. And he's also the brother of now public enemy number one, Cyclops. So he sort of wants to put him at the forefront and be that public face for this Uncanny Avengers team. I already discussed the additions coming up in the future issues, the additions of Sunfire, Wasp, and Wonder Man. But I also forgot to talk about some of the villains besides Red Skull who are going to be appearing. They've announced that villains will be the Red Skull. He'll be taking up that first four-issue arc. And then in the future, we'll also get to see Kang the Conqueror, who is an Avengers villain, and also Apocalypse, who's mostly been an X-Men villain. And Remender is pretty familiar with Apocalypse because he's been sort of utilizing him in his Uncanny X-Force run. And for those who want to find out what Remender exactly has been doing with Apocalypse, I strongly recommend going and checking out Remender's Uncanny X-Force run. I believe it's about to end with issue 35 or 36, but pretty much Apocalypse has been a focal point throughout the entire run, actually. So go check any back issues or trades for that. Also, there was the AVX Consequences miniseries, which basically dealt with the aftermath of Avengers versus X-Men. It sort of featured Cyclops, who was captured at the end of Avengers versus X-Men, and he was put in a General Assembly prison. You'd think, since he's this powerful mutant, that the government would put him, say, on the raft, along with other villains like that. But they wanted to make an example out of Cyclops by putting him with the regular population of criminals, because they were hoping that with the mutant hatred being at an all-time high, that he would be killed while he was in prison. And Cyclops was even okay with that happening because he saw himself as being this mutant martyr, but he changed his mind once another mutant that was in prison with him was killed by some prisoners, and he decided enough is enough and it's time for a change. Shout outs to Owen Hart. And he decided to have Magneto break him out of prison. So Magneto, Magic, and Cyclops are running together now, and you'll be following their adventures in All New X-Men and Uncanny X-Men. Uncanny X-Men actually isn't slated to come out till February 2013, I believe. But I'll be discussing All New X-Men a little later on. But what I liked about Avengers versus, or what I liked about AVX Consequences was, I've never been a fan of these little mini-series that Marvel puts out after their big mega event. It just seems like a cash grab to me. Like, we've already did this big 12-part event and had all these tie-in issues, and then they had the A versus X, or pin the X-Man versus an Avenger. So now let's go ahead and put this AVX Consequences out to also make some money. But it actually served a good purpose, because it helped transition Cyclops from being in jail to being on the run. And it also set up the status quo for Cyclops' Extinction Team, I guess, quote unquote. I'm not even sure if they're still called the Extinction Team, but that's what I call them, since it still includes Cyclops and Magneto, Magic, and the White Queen. Another new series is A Plus X, not to be confused with AVX Consequences or the Versus series that was going on during the Avengers vs. X-Men. But A Plus X is a, I'm not even sure if it's a going to be an ongoing series or if it's just set as a miniseries, but it stars an Avenger and an X-Men in a short story together. And each issue includes two stories. So you get two stories told in two Avengers and two X-Men, but they're split up. So first story has an Avenger and an X-Man. Second one has an Avenger and an X-Man. In the first issue, we had Captain America teaming up with Cable. Second story was Wolverine and Hulk. And Marvel has let it be known on the recap page that don't worry about where these stories take place in continuity. Don't think at all. Just enjoy these standalone stories for what they are. And it's another money grab by Marvel to capitalize on this whole Avengers vs. X. I don't really recommend reading A Plus X unless you just really want to. The first issue was okay. I didn't listen to Marvel, and I started trying to figure out how this Cable and Captain America and Wolverine and Hulk stories, where do they fit in? And I ended up confusing myself. So, and the second issue comes out this week, which I got an advance preview for. And I'll just go ahead and say, not spoiling anything, but it stars Black Widow and Rogue in one story. And honestly, I forget who the second story has. Oh, Iron Man and Kitty Pryde. And they're okay story-wise. You don't really need them for anything. So I wouldn't recommend spending your hard-earned money on A Plus's X. Iron Man number one, it was not one of my favorites. It's the writing team. The writer is Kieran Gillen. And the artist is Greg Land. And Greg Land is very controversial because I'm not sure what you call his art style, where it seems like he traces people's faces from different magazines. So every character in his book ends up looking like someone on the pages of Us Weekly, which happens here. And everyone's face looks like they have the Joker smile embedded on it. But Iron Man, at least this initial arc, deals with the extremist armor being taken by some villains who I believe are AIM, at least right now it looks like it's AIM, is using the extremist armor, and Tony Stark has to go out and recover it. Marvel Now is supposed to be this big jumping on point for new readers, and technically Iron Man number one fits that bill, but they've already done stories with Iron Man and the extremist armor before. And they've even done stories of, oh no, Tony Stark's creations have been stolen and used for evil. He must wage this war to get his technology back. You know, we've seen this before. What would have been a better starting point would be, since we already know Iron Man is going to be a member of the Guardians of the Galaxy and going off having these space adventures, it would have been nice if Iron Man started off with these space adventures. But during a Marvel Now Next Big Thing live blog, they announced that I believe issue 6 will pick up with Tony being out in space with Guardians of the Galaxy. I just believe that's the story I want to read, and I understand why Marvel is holding off on showing Iron Man in space, and that's the reason for that is because Guardians of the Galaxy doesn't debut till February, I want to say. So they've sort of got to waste time until February comes around. So waste time equals this extremist storyline. Plus, they want to tie it into Iron Man 3, which comes out next May. So there's that. But it seems like it would make more sense to tie extremists into Iron Man 3 and have some extremist storylines going on during the lead up to Iron Man 3. Fantastic Four number 1 is by Mark Bagley and as artist, and Matt Fraction as the writer. What I liked, every member of the Fantastic Four got a little time to shine. We got a good feel of their personalities. The best parts were Human Torch out on a date and the Thing breaking up a Fight Club style YouTube video being filmed. So that both of those were humorous. And we also got a new development with Reed Richards, where something happens to him and his powers, and he needs to figure out what's going on with that. And he believes it's also, if it's affecting him, it's also going to be affecting the other members of the Fantastic Four. So he decides to take the team and their kids, Franklin and Valeria, on this year-long field trip to another dimension. So for them, it's going to be a year-long adventure, but because a year will pass in this dimension that they're going to, but in our dimension, only a couple minutes will pass. So they won't actually be gone long at all. Which raises another question of, if it's only going to be a couple of moments time that they're gone in our dimension, why even go through the trouble of finding replacement Fantastic Four while they're gone? And this replacement team will be starring in the FF series once it starts up. And it stars Ant-Man, She-Hulk, Medusa, and Miss Thing, I believe her name is. And the art's Matt Fraction still writing it, and It's being drawn by Mike Allred, whose art I'm not really crazy for, but I actually didn't mind his art in the Marvel Point One. Next up, we have all new X-Men 1 and 2, because by the time this comes out, my review for number 2 will be up. Now, all new X-Men, I like it. It's written by Brian Michael Bendis, art by Stuart Immonen. What I liked about it is we got the introduction of New Mutants. At the end of Avengers vs. X-Men, New Mutants start sprouting up all across the globe. So, in issue 1 of All New X-Men, Cyclops and his team go out and find two new mutants to bring to their side. I always like seeing new mutants being developed and created, and also because you get to see what new powers are going to be created for them. We have new development with Beast, where he's undergoing another mutation, which seems to be killing him. And since he feels like he doesn't have much time left, he decides to go back into the past and bring the original X-Men to the present, hoping that they can convince Cyclops to not go down this evil path. And the reason Beast, since he's the number one source in mutation, he can't go to anyone else. So he feels like he has to bear this burden all by himself. And I like how Beast and this new mutation that seems to be killing him is very similar to what Mr. Fantastic is going through in Fantastic Four. I just liked how both those books came out at the same time and they seem to both have that same thing going on in both titles. And also, All New X-Men feels like it's more of the franchise or the flagship Marvel Now title than Uncanny Avengers, or at least it feels like it should be. Because see, it comes out on a more regular schedule, and issues 1 and 2 both feel like something important is going on in them. And it is, because I mean, you have the original X-Men being yanked out from the past to the present. And Uncanny Avengers is nothing but setup so far. Setup, Red Skull, and this new threat that he's doing. That just feels like it's... All New X-Men feels like it has more going on for it than Uncanny Avengers. I like the interplay between the X-Men of the past and the present, as far as when the original team is brought to the present. Iceman freaking out, overseeing himself, past and present, both freaking out. Jean Grey telling Wolverine to go to sleep, and he sort of passes out, falls face first to the ground with the butt all sticking up in the air. That was just a funny visual that that Stuart Immonen drew up. And the only thing I didn't like from All New X-Men was in issue 1 we see White Queen is with Cyclops and his mutant revolution. I guess that's the new name for them. And we never got to see White Queen be broken out of jail. We saw Cyclops be broken out in A versus X Consequences, but we never saw it with White Queen. Now, we can assume that Cyclops broke her out, but like I said, we never saw it. It would have been nice to see. And also, it was announced in one of the Marvel Now live blogs that Cyclops and White Queen are no longer a couple. So we have to have that to look forward to in Uncanny X-Men whenever it debuts, I believe in February. Another thing that I found odd, also in Ultimate X-Men, before I end with that, was when Beast goes to the past to pick up the original X-Men, he tells Jean Grey to read his mind so she can see that he's telling the truth about who he is. Jean says that she can't read minds, and Beast remembers, oh yeah, you haven't developed that power yet. But then when he brings the original X-Men to the present, she gets there and all of a sudden she's able to read minds and use her telekinesis, which she seemed like she was too weak before to do that, but now all of a sudden she's in the present. After a couple moments, she can read minds and read everyone's minds in the Jean Grey School of Higher Learning. It just seemed too convenient. Thor, God of Thunder, number one. I'm liking this Thor series. So I know some people have complained about Esad Ribic's art, but his art, along with Dean White's colors, it seems like it's art that fits a god. It seems sort of artsy and sort of painted looking. It seems regal. I like it. I also like this new villain that Jason Aaron is the one writing Thor, God of Thunder. But he creates this new villain called the God Butcher, who Thor has to fight through three different time frames. And when I say time frames, I mean this story features young Viking Thor, who is without his trusty hammer yet. He doesn't have Mjolnir. He has a large axe, battle axe, as his weapon. And then we have present Thor, and we also have King Thor of Asgard in the future. And he's the last remaining Asgardian watching over Asgard. And he's got an eye patch, and he's missing an arm. So he uses one of the Destroyer's arms instead. And I like how we get to see all these different sides of Thor. And we also see him battling the God Butcher through all these three points in time. And it's going to be interesting to see how they all interconnect together. So we also have... I also liked how in issue one, there's this alien on another planet, and he starts praying to Thor specifically for rain to come to their planet, because I guess it's been so many cycles since the last raindrop has fallen. And Thor hears this little kid's prayers and comes and answers them by making rainfall. And I just never thought of Thor in that capacity. I mean, we know he's a god, but I don't think I've ever seen a story where someone's prayed to him and he's come to answer their prayer. And it had me thinking of, you know, this could be utilized further in the Marvel Universe. You could have, not of people praying to Thor, but the reason that Thor answers the prayers and the little boys, the gods of his planet don't answer is because they've been killed by the God Butcher. So it'd be nice if these other gods around the Marvel Universe and maybe these other planets are created. It just seems like it opens up a new resource to be tapped into. And let's see, the last one I have is X-Men Legacies 1 and 2. I'm not a fan of this book because I'm not really a fan of Legion. I do like that he was the catalyst for the Age of Apocalypse back in the day, but I didn't really care about him being the catalyst for that. I just like that the Age of Apocalypse was a cool event that was created. So for those who don't know, Legion is the son of Charles Xavier. So this story, or this title, is featuring him in his adventures after his father has been killed. And Legion suffers from multiple personality disorder, and each of his personalities has a different mutant ability. And I know back, at least back when I saw him guest star in X-Men titles, I want to say he had only 3 or 4 personalities. But in this title, I believe like in issue 2, they name that he has like over 100 personalities. I'm wondering, has that always been the case, or is that something that's been written into his existence more recently? Issue number 1 was really hard to understand, but after reading issue 2, it made a little more sense, because they showed this villain find, they showed all these aliens find each other during the, we see Legion talking to his sort of his shaman master in part of the book, and then we also see all these aliens find each other in the other part of issue 1. The aliens find each other in issue 1. They're not aliens, or I guess they're creatures, but they're Legion's different personalities find each other in his psyche. So issue 2 sort of displays that a little better in my mind. Issue 1, they don't really make that very clear. And also, issue 2 is helped because it actually guest stars some members of the X-Men. And like I said, if this comic is actually going to survive, they need to incorporate some X-Men into it. It can't just be the Adventures of Legion, because people won't care about this high-top, crazy mutant trying to battle his crazy personalities. So that's about all the Marvel Now titles I'm going to discuss for this episode. Hopefully you enjoyed it. I enjoyed creating this episode. It was kind of fun just talking to myself about these various comics I'm reading. As more Marvel Now titles start to be released, new issues and ongoing number, like issue 2s and 3s of Thor and Iron Man and Uncanny Avengers and All New X-Men, as they start to come out, I'll start trying to do more of these. It sort of just depends on how my schedule frees up and if I have the free time. But give me some feedback. You can send email to theclicknation@gmail.com. Let me know what you think of this episode. If you enjoyed it, let me know. That'll give me more incentive to do more of these. Once again, I want to thank the popculturenetwork.com for hooking me up with these advanced copies of these comics for me to review. Follow me on Twitter at timdoggg98. Also, the Click Nation's account at The Click Nation. And I am Tim DOGG, and I'm signing off.
This wasn't no movie. The smart thing was to say yes, get up, and leave the room. But then I thought to myself, what if this was a movie? Look, you, the plane you flew in on, them shoes, your socks with the bell on it, your gay-ass accent, them cheap-ass cigars, your yuck-mouth teeth, your hairpiece, your chocolate, Guy Ritchie, Prince William, the Queen. This is America. My president is black and my Lambo is blue, nigga. Now get the out of my hotel room. And if I see you in the street, I'm slapping the out of you.
Wrestling, just in competition, when the war does the mission, not no mercy, see the